Well, I want to start this evening, and if we could, let's look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 from the New Living Translation. And this is a good place to start here. We've got a few scriptures to look at. But this tells us not to copy. It says, don't copy what? The behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for, what does it say? You'll need to know the God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So even though we've become a brand new creature in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, we've become a new being, a new type of person. Our hearts have been changed, but our thinking has to be changed. And this is what this is saying here, that God will transform us into a new person by changing how? The way we think. And so our thinking has to be changed to come in line with the Word of God. And this is where we began last week talking about the connection between our heart, our heart's been changed, and our mouth. Well, you know, the scripture says that as a man thinketh, so is he. So we need to have our thinking changed so that what? What comes out of our mouth will be in agreement with what's in our heart. Now, I'm going to pick up where we started last week in Proverbs chapter 4. And I'm going to look at the King James Version first and then the New Living Translation. But Proverbs 4 and verse 20 through 23, it says, my son, do what? Attend to my words. That means to be after it. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not do what? Depart from thine eyes. Keep them where? In the midst of thine heart. And then it goes on in verse 22, for they are what? Life unto those that find them. If you found something, that means you were searching for it. You were looking for something. And this is here, truth in God's word. So it says, they are life unto those that find them, and what? Health, and most margins say medicine, to what? All their flesh. Hallelujah. And then verse 23 is what I wanted to look at. Keep thy heart with what? All diligence, for out of it, out of what? Out of your heart are the issues of life. Now, we're going to look at the New Living, but verse 23, and that word issues, if you look that up, that Hebrew word issues means boundaries or extremities. So that means that out of your heart, you set the boundaries of your own life. Hallelujah. So the New Living Translation, it says it a little different. It says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. And then it goes on, don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. And then verse 22, it says, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. So did you know you have healing for your whole body in the Word? Guard your heart above all else. This is verse 23. It says to do what? Guard your heart above all else. For it does what? It determines the course of your life. This is what we were talking about, the boundaries and extremities of your own life. It says your heart determines the course of your life. Now, I know they don't have this translation, but the Good News Translation, it expresses it in a way that I like. It says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Wow. It says, guard the way you think, for it shapes your whole life. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. And so we know just from natural experience, if you think long enough on something, positive or negative, it can have an effect on your thoughts, not just your thoughts, but you begin to think on something long enough, and you'll begin to do what? You'll begin to talk it. You'll begin to express it. And the more you begin to think about something and talk about it, it'll begin to cement, I guess is the word, it'll begin to shape the direction of your life. And you know that just from thought, you know, from reading. I looked up recently, you know, it was a few months ago, just all of the different phobias that are out there. And people have fears and phobias about things that they've just meditated upon. And they people don't fly, people don't get in elevators, people don't do anything because they're afraid of something that they've thought about. And this is something that I want to touch on this evening about strongholds and strongholds in our lives that affect what? Your thinking. And your thinking will begin to do what? Shape the way you do things. So we're told to do what? Guard our heart. Guard our heart. Hallelujah. So one thing I wanted to look at, and if we can pull up the New Living Translation of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it talks about the Word of God being what? Alive and powerful. And it's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. And it does what? It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. That's why we're to do what? And I'm going to bring this out, that we're to do what? We're to take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And we're going to get over to that scripture. But we have an enemy in this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 4, it talks about the God of this earth, the God of this world, has done what? He's blinded the minds of them which believe not. This is 2 Corinthians 4, 4. It says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should do what? Shine unto them. So the devil, who's our enemy, he's the one that's taken that authority, or was given, not taken, but given that authority. He deceived Adam. And so he took this authority. We can see in the Gospels when he tempted Jesus. What did Jesus respond with? He responded, he, the Word, responded with the Word. He said, it is written. And so this is our response to the devil, that his MO, so to speak, is to try to deceive or blind them that are lost. And that they're just, you know, they'll, as they say, bite and take the bait. But we can see that Jesus came, and this is what we were mentioning on Sunday, the excitement about resurrection life, is that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. That was his purpose. 1 John 3:8, it talks about the purpose of Jesus' coming was to destroy the works of the devil. And we know in Colossians, in chapter 2 and verse 15, it says that he made what? He made an open show of them. He spoiled. He took back the authority of principalities and powers and did what? He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, in what? The cross. So we can see from Scripture that 1 John 5:4, it talks about whosoever is born of God does what? Overcometh the world. So even though Satan, the devil, is the god of this world, we've overcome the world. How do we overcome it? Through our faith. Isn't that exciting news? So it says we've overcome the world even by our faith. So that's why it's wonderful when we can join together and we can do what? Exercise our faith to confront or push back those plots and deceptions of the devil. and begin to bring it into subjection, to destroy it with what? The name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the word of God. Hallelujah. And so let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. I want to look at two translations. And it talks about, we were referencing here, 2 Corinthians 10:4 in the King James Version. It talks about the weapons of our warfare. Now, if you didn't know you were in a warfare, well, the scripture says you are. You're warring against the devil. When we say warring, he's opposing the body of Christ, and it is a warfare, but we've already won. He's been defeated. That's what we just got done seeing, that Jesus did what? He spoiled them. He took back the authority, and we saw Sunday that that authority was then given to the church. And so even though we're confronting him, we've already won. We're in Christ. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are what? Not carnal." I'm just reading from the King James, or I'll read from the New Living. It says, "We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments." And verse 5, it says, "We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God." See, that's the devil's, his objective is to keep people from knowing God. And this says here, we're to capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. What's to obey Christ? Those thoughts that come to your mind, those evil thoughts or thoughts that oppose God. Now, this word in the King James Version, it says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing it into captivity, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Well, that word imaginations in the Greek is logismos. It's really where we get the word logic from. Now, when we talk about this, there are two kinds of strongholds. There are rational strongholds, and there are irrational strongholds. What do I mean by that? Rational strongholds are strongholds that in the natural, they make sense, but they still oppose God. They oppose the Word of God. So strongholds that make sense is where your logical mind tries and talks you out of obeying God. In other words, if you don't take charge of your mind, it'll begin to completely dominate and control your obedience to God. Your natural mind will come up with reasons why not to obey what the Spirit of God is telling you to do. In other words, it makes sense. It makes logical sense in the natural, but it's against the Word of God. We're to bring that type of imagination, that type of rational stronghold into subjection to the Word of God, to obedience. Your logical mind will tell you it's not the right time to step out in faith. That's what rational strongholds are. And it's difficult because you're going to say, you know, we hear this, well, it's just wisdom to do something. We've all heard this, and we may have even said it. But the question becomes, if it's natural wisdom and not heavenly wisdom, then something can be opposing God and His will. So we need to be thinking about that there are rational strongholds. That word imaginations, again, is the word logismos, which is where we get the word logic from. And so sometimes some things may make logical sense, but it's not heaven's wisdom. And then the other type of stronghold is something you call irrational stronghold, something that's just unrealistic. It doesn't even make, it's just, you know, there's nothing that would suggest that that would even come to pass in your life, but the devil's just putting kind of irrational thoughts in your mind. Fear of getting a terminal disease, fear of dying early in your life, fear of rejection, fear of not having enough. Well, you can see what's going on here right now in this earth. People are afraid of not having enough, and out of fear, they're doing something. It's irrational, and it's not founded in the Word of God. The Scripture says that God has given us, not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and what? A sound mind. So the choices that we make and the thoughts that we should have are of peace and of good and of love. And so for us, the devil's thoughts are meant to always do what? Bring us into bondage and to fear. Fear has torment. And so these kind of thoughts, we're told to do what? Bring into captivity, and these thoughts to not only to captivity, we're to capture them and bring them into the obedience of Christ, or we could say the Word of God. So whether these thoughts are rational or irrational, we're to take authority over them and cast them down. So we are to pull down every mental or emotional stronghold with the supernatural weapons of God that He's given to us. So we need to take these thoughts captive and bring them into subjection to the Word of God. Now let's take a look at Galatians 2:20. And you can see here, what does this scripture say? It says, I am what? Crucified with Christ, what? Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but what? Christ liveth in me. 1 John 4:4, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And this continues and said, and then the life which I now live in the flesh, how am I supposed to live it? By the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so we can see that we've been crucified with Christ, but nevertheless we live. And so this life that we live, we're to live by what? Faith. And not fear. And so here in the Amplified, this is Amplified, it's expanded, but it says, I've been crucified with Christ. In Him, I have shared His crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ, the Messiah, lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in what? I live by faith, and it goes on, adherence to and reliance on and complete trust in the Son of God who did what? He loved me and gave himself for me. So we can see here that our weapons are what? Are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so this is what I wanted to look at today, is that this faith that we have is precious. Romans, you know, we looked at Romans 12:2, but we don't have to put it up, but if you just continued in Romans 12:3, it says we've been given a measure of faith. But you know, that faith has to be acted upon. And faith, we know from Romans 10:17, comes from hearing and hearing the Word of God. But we also know from James that if we don't act upon our faith, it's dead. And so we're to do what? And we picked up on this last week, where we need to do what? Believe in our heart. This is faith now. But then faith has to be acted upon. And this is here where we're talking about faith and confession. And so the power of God's word, we can see from Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, and also Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, We can see God's word. It says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding what? All things by the word of his power. When he had what? He had by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand or on the right hand of the majesty on high. So this says here, all things are upheld by the what? By the word of his power. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, very familiar scripture verse, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. So our faith, or you could say it another way, our confession is our faith speaking. So our faith and confession together precedes our salvation or our deliverance or our healing. So our confession always precedes the deliverance or the manifestation, you could say, of something. But now I want to jump over and I want to look at just what is faith. And let's take a look at Hebrews 11, 1. And then we're going to go to Mark 11, 22 through 24. And we're going to take a look at this for a few moments and feed upon this here. And Hebrews 11, 1, it says what in the King James? Now faith is what? The substance. Faith has substance. We just got done reading that, where all things were what? Upheld and created by the word of his power. So the word of God, faith is impregnated into the word of God. It's literally the word of God is a container for the supernatural faith of God. So faith is what? Substance. It's the substance of what? Things hoped for or expected, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is the ground. Sometimes that word substance means the ground or the confidence of something hoped for or expected, the evidence of things not seen. What's the evidence of something not seen? My faith. So my faith is the evidence of something that I haven't seen yet. So we're to do what? Believe for things we don't see. We're supposed to do what? We're supposed to be speaking of things that have been paid for, bought for, desired, and I believe I receive it. So this is where we've been talking about. If I get my faith and my confession connected and working together, that there's nothing, it says all things shall come to pass. In other words, I can receive something that's been promised in the word of God, I can use my faith and my words to receive it. And so let's look at Mark 11, 22 through 24. And let's look at this in the King James Version. This is here Jesus answering, and he's coming back, as we can see here. They went into the temple, and actually, or in the morning, they're coming back through this way that they traveled, and Jesus had cursed the fig tree. And in the morning, it goes on and it says, they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots, and Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. Verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, or have the faith of God, or some translations say, have the God kind of faith. And so it goes on, and it says, verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever, so he said anybody. He didn't just say, well, this can only be done by me. or a select few. He said, whosoever, that means you and me, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, verse 24, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So we can see between verses 23 and 24, both talking about faith. One is talking about believing in the heart and saying with the mouth, or you could say confessing or speaking faith. And the other, still talking about faith, but it's talking about us praying in faith. Now, this word in verse 23, it's when it goes on to say, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. This word doubt in the Greek means to waver, to hesitate, to differ. It means to be in opposition with something. In other words, you're not in agreement. That means your heart, what you believe in your heart, and your mouth are not in agreement. They're not saying the same thing. Or you may have started that way, but you got off because of something you begin to see. We see what happened with Peter when Jesus was walking across the water in the storm, and Peter spoke to him and said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. And he said, come. And what did Peter? Peter didn't hesitate. He got out of the boat and began to do what? Walk across the water. But it says in the scripture, he looked at the waves and the wind, and he began to sink. And Jesus had something to say to him about his faith. So we need to not doubt if Jesus said something in the scripture or it's promised in the scripture, then we can take that as being mine. What do we say? The scripture is God speaking to me. So if he's spoken it, then I can receive it, I can take it by faith and begin to do what? Believe it and say it. So if we don't differ, so this is what Jesus is saying, that when a person's heart doesn't differ or doesn't, or you could say it another way, is in agreement with what the mouth is saying, then when the mouth and heart are in agreement, it will always cause things to happen or things to come to pass. So that means if you believe that Jesus purchased your healing and you connect your faith and your confession together, and you don't doubt, you can bring healing into manifestation into your physical body. And this is why when it talks about in Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart at all cost. Guard it, for out of it come the issues of life. If you begin to, you may have started in faith, but if you begin to doubt that healing is working in your body, or you begin to doubt that maybe it's not God's will for some reason, and you begin to differ or you become in opposition with your heart and you begin to say something that, well, maybe, then you're going to cause some things not to come to pass. Check it. What do we say? We're to bring captive, we're to take captive every thought that is in opposition to God and his word. So this is where we're talking about here, making sure that our heart and our confession and our words stay in agreement, that we don't differ. I know there's some different translations and different, what we call transliterations and different renditions of the Bible that say if a man does not differ from what his heart is saying, then if he doesn't differ, he'll have what he says. And so this is what we have to do, is to stay connected. Keep believing. Keep, as Brother Hagin used to say, keep the switch of faith turned on. What does that mean? Regardless of what I see, regardless of what I'm feeling, regardless of what I'm experiencing, I'm to do what? Keep my heart and mouth in agreement, that I believe that the healing power of God is at work in my body, and it's doing what? It's healing every part of my body. It's restoring my finances. I know years ago, you know, there was a point in my life where I was sowing, and I mean, I'm still similarly, but there was a point where I began to question and say, well, why am I not seeing in my life the fruit of my giving? You know, that's just silly to even meditate on that, but I was at that place in my life. And I remember in a time of prayer, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said this to me just this exact way. He said, if you will work the word in the area of finances like you are working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. Boy, I'll tell you, I jumped up and this is exactly what I said. I said, I'm the one who's missing it, not God. He's not trying to keep anything from me. I'm the one who's questioning it. He said, if you will work the word, because he knew I was already working the word in the area of healing and seeing results. But I was looking in the natural for something to happen. And it's not that we don't expect something, but I was letting natural circumstances begin to affect my heart and my speech. And I was beginning to wonder. And that's not a good place to be. So I began to immediately change my confession. I said, Father, I repent for even questioning the word of God. And I begin to exercise so that when I sow my seed and I bring my tithes into the storehouse, I begin to plant it, sow it, and I release my faith. And so when I release my faith, what am I supposed to do? Thank God and begin to do what? With my heart and my mouth, begin to confess that I believe that the Word of God is working in my behalf in the financial realm, and that my bank accounts are full, and every seed that I've planted shall produce and bring up a harvest. And so when we connect with the principles of seed time and harvest, we're going to benefit. But if we don't exercise our faith and our confession properly, we can hinder that. So there's great power that's released when the heart and the mouth work together. Great power. So this is why I wanted to touch on this evening about casting down imaginations, whether they're rational or irrational. The devil, if he can get you to believe and to say the wrong things with your heart and your mouth, that you'll cause those death-filled confessions to come to pass. So we need to guard our heart, guard our speech, so that what? We keep those words full of life. And let's look at Proverbs 18:21. And this to me speaks it all right here, that we have within our tongue, we can speak death or life, death-filled words or life-filled words. And this says here, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Whose tongue? Your tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So if the devil can get you to speak words of doubt and words that are contrary to the word of God, you at some point, if you keep saying it and believing it, it'll come to pass in your life. And the same thing with life. You know, if we can keep the devil over in the realm of faith, we'll defeat him every time. Why? Because we're operating the word of God. And if we can continue, like it says, whosoever shall do what? Say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and do what? Not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things that you say shall come to pass, you'll have it. You'll have the things that you say. So that's why it's important to say, I'm going to do this. If God's called you into a certain area of society, whether you're a minister, whether you're working in the business realm, whether you've got your own company, God desires for you to prosper. And so you need to confess, I'm sowing my seed. Malachi 3:10 says, bring your tithes into the storehouse and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not do what? Open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing you can hardly contain. And he goes on to say, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. So we need to do what? Embrace the word of God, believe that God, that Jesus said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. So his desire is that we do what? Embrace the word of God. We need to humble ourselves, submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God and do what? Resist the devil, resist these thoughts, bring them into captivity, into what? Subjection unto the word of God and to obedience, you could say, to the word of God. And so my thoughts, when they begin to question or begin to wonder something, no, just bring that, say, no, no, God desires for me to prosper, and everything I set my hands to prospers, that I'm blessed going in and blessed going out. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I sowed my seed this week. I operate in the love of God, and the devil and his works cannot affect that which I have. And you begin to release faith-filled words from your heart. Amen? And faith, what do we say? Faith is the substance, it's the ground on which your hope rests. It's those things that you expect, those things that you're looking for, it's what? It rests upon and is supported by faith. Hallelujah. So just like faith, you know, here's an example. Faith is what? The evidence of something that's not seen. Well, you know, I'm not a pilot, but you know, just in the natural, radar can see through obstructions. Radar, if you're a pilot and you're flying, radar can see things through those obstructions. Now, I know there's instances where radar is obstructed from certain types of things, but in general, you understand the point I'm making, that radar can see through obstructions to see something that we can't see. So faith is just like radar. It can see things that the average person can't see in the natural. We're to walk by faith and what? Not by sight. So you can see here that faith is something that cometh from hearing the word of God. It gives us the ability to see the eternal things of God. And so this is what God wants us to focus on. God wants us to fill our heart with the word of God. And then faith is conceived. And faith comes where? By hearing. And hearing by the word of God where? In our heart. And when we release our words are containers of faith. And so those faith-filled words begin to do what? Change things in our world and the things that we confront. So just the same way that Jesus spoke to things here on this earth, and when he walked this earth, he walked as a God-man. He walked in this earth, and he showed us how we're to walk in this earth and to conduct ourselves. What did he do? He spoke to the wind. He spoke to the demons. He spoke to things that did what? Confronted his authority. And it's the same thing. We've been given. What does it say in Galatians? It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ who lives in me. So the devil is always trying to do what? Confront and challenge the authority of God. Yeah, well, we know what happened to him when he tried that. He got booted out of heaven. So we're to do the same. We're to do what? Boot him out of your life. Boot him out of your surroundings, your city, your town, your house. Take the word of God. Fill your heart with the word of God and begin to release faith-filled words and to do what? Command the devil to back up and to be moved and to take authority over what he's trying to do in your life. So the gospel is the power of God, and we're to do what? Take that word, fill our hearts with it, and to begin to operate and walk in our authority here in this earth in the name of Jesus. So I just wanted to share those thoughts that we need to take control of these thoughts. You know, today, if you meditate too much and you listen to the news too much, you begin to wonder, is God really working in my behalf? Is God alive? It looks like he, as they say, went to Jamaica. But God is alive, and he is seated on the throne. Jesus said he is seated on the throne. And so we have a living Savior, an all-powerful Savior, all things. He said in Revelations, he holds the keys of hell and death. And all things were put under his feet. And its scripture says, for the benefit of the church. So let's operate in our authority. Let's take the word of God, fill our hearts, and begin to speak it, and to begin to take back that which the devil has tried to perpetrate on this earth at this time, and begin to operate and walk as the body of Christ. Again, praise God. Thank you for being with us. And let's just, as we finish up, I'd like to just take a moment and extend an opportunity for those who may not know Jesus as your Savior. You may have believed he is the Christ. You know, there's people that say, I believe in that, but they never embraced it. They never confessed that that was for them. The scripture in Romans 10, it says that we're to do what? Believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth that Jesus is the Christ and that he was raised from the dead. So if you'll do that and you'll believe that in your heart and say that with your mouth, the scripture says that you will be saved. And so the scripture also says that today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, today. So if you would, let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Savior, that you sent him here to this earth to redeem mankind. Your word says in John 3:16 how you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe that he was raised from the dead. He paid for my sins and sicknesses. And I believe then that was paid for. He was raised from the dead. And so now I receive you, Jesus, as my Savior. I ask you to cleanse me. I ask you to wash my sins with the blood of Jesus. Make something new of me. In Jesus' name, amen. And I confess that I am saved. Now, if you said that simple prayer and you believe that in your heart, then that means you became a brand new person. You became born again, redeemed, washed in the blood or by the blood of Jesus, and you're a brand new person. You've been delivered from the power of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear Son. What does that mean? That means that doesn't mean temptations may not still come, but it has no control over you anymore. And so, isn't that wonderful news that we can walk through this earth not under the control and blindness of the devil? Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I hope you got a little something. It's always good to meditate upon the scripture where faith and confession is concerned, because these are the principles that will get us through and be a success in life. And so a lot of times people believe things, their believing is correct. I remember something that Brother Hagin said when he was alive. And he said this was something that Jesus spoke to him and said, "My church doesn't have a problem believing. They've been taught to believe. It's in their saying that they have a problem." So we need to watch what we say and make sure that it's in agreement with what we believe. Because when those two are in agreement, powerful things are released in our life, and the things that we believe and the things that we say will come to pass. And you can see what happened to all of us when we believed in our heart that Jesus was the Christ, or is the Christ, and was raised from the dead, and we confessed that, something supernatural happened in our hearts. We became changed. We became brand new. And so those principles of believing in your heart and saying with your mouth started with our confession of faith for salvation. Hallelujah. Glory to God.